Begin the current daf Masechet Yesiyim Medav Lamed. We begin on the bottom of Chavtes Mebeis, three lines up from the bottom of the Yamed. But the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the beginning of the Perek, where it was discussing the halacha of when we could do the Hakrav of the Tamid Shal Shachar, which they would check to make sure, Barkai, that it's already, the dawn has already risen and that it's shining already. And that we said, at that point in time in Yom Kippurim, which is what our Masechet is talking about, they would take the Kohen Gadol down to do a tefillah in the beginning of the morning. So that was where our Mishnah said that a klal related to tefillahs, that whenever anyone would move his bowels, he would require a tefillah and immersion in a mikveh. However, and that's what the Mishnah is, what the Gemara is quoting now, that zeha klal hoy b'mikdash, this was the rule that was in the mikdash. Related to that was that if anyone is mashtin, if someone urinates in the area of the base of mikdash, then he has to go ahead and do kiddush adam reglaim. He has to wash his hands and his feet from the kir. Now on that, the Gemara asked the following question. So Bishlam Reglaim, we understand that if someone urinates, that he's going to require washing his feet. And the reason is Mishum Nitzaitis, because when someone urinates, so there's droplets that could be that they dropped on his foot. So therefore, you have to wash that off, and you wash that from the kir. Eliyadayim my time, but what's the reason that one has to wash, what we're calling kiddush, sanctification of the hands and the feet? Why do you have to wash your hands if a person was Matal Miraglaim, if he urinates, what would be the purpose of requiring the washing of the hands? So Amr Baba Rabba says, Zaysimeres, from this we can understand and infer, we continue on the top of Lamed Rav, that mitzvah l'shavshav, the following halacha, that there's a positive commandment, there's a mitzvah to rub with one hand the droplets of the urine that sprinkled on a person's foot, that he shouldn't go out like that with the droplets on his foot. Hence, not only that we're concerned that you have to wash off your feet, but you actually have to go ahead with your hands and dry and rub them off, because if not, one would seem like a kroy shavcha. Now, a kroy shavcha is someone that his male member is cut or there's a laceration. There's something with his male member. Where such a person, his urine doesn't spray, but rather it just drips. And a kroy shavcha is someone that can't have children, can't give birth. And hence, if people see him walking out with droplets on his feet, they're going to say, wait a second, he's someone that doesn't urinate properly. And that means that he's probably a kroy shavcha. That means his children are not really his children because he can't have children. As the Gemara says, Misayei l'Rabami, this chiyuv that we're saying that a person has to wash his feet and his hands, because obviously he has to use his hands to rub off the urine that it shouldn't have the drops on his foot, supports what Rabami said, it's forbidden for any person to walk outside in the street with the droplets on his feet, because he looks like that his male member is cut, and therefore what's the problem with that? So there's going to go out a rumor about his children that they're illegitimate children, that although he's married to his wife, the children obviously did not come from him because he can't have children. Look at the way he urinates. It doesn't spray, it just drops. And therefore, we say a person shouldn't walk out like that, shouldn't spread rumors about his children that they are mamzerim. And that's why there's a chiv to wash one's feet and hands, because you have to use your hands to wash off, to rub off the droplets. Now, related to this sugya of a person moving his bowels and going to the bathroom, so Amar Papa said that tzaya b'mkayma, regarding excrement in its place, in other words, in its natural place, which is by the anus, or as it's called, the pihatabas, the opening of where a person relieves himself, usr, it's forbidden for such a person likros kriyishma. So if he has waste, if he has fecal matter over there by the anus, he's not allowed to recite kriyishma. So the Gemara asked the following question on this halach of Rapapa. Hechidami, what is the case that Rav Papa was talking about? Edeniris, if it's visible, there it is, it's there, the person relieved himself and it's still there by the anus. So pshit, it's obvious that you can't say kriyishma like that. We know that even if you're just viewing excrement, you can't say kriyishma. Most definitely, if it's visible and it's there on him. And edeloiniris, if it's not visible, in other words, it's in the anus, but it's not visible to the outside, to if someone would look. So then, Torah wasn't given to angels. What are we supposed to do? We have fecal matter. We have the way our digestive system works. And if it's not outside, so why would we not be able to say Krishma if it's not visible? So that the Gemara says, it's somewhere in the middle. The halacha he was saying that one cannot recite Krishma is to Yeshiv Veniris. If a person, when he's sitting, then it would be visible because then it widens open. However, if it'd be standing, then it wouldn't be visible. You wouldn't see it then. And that is what we're saying. In such a case, it would be forbidden to recite Krishma. That was the chiddush of Rav Papa, that in such a case, if it's visible, even only when you're sitting, it still would be enough to prohibit saying Krishma. Now, the Gemara asks on this halach of Rav Papa, What is the difference that Rav Papa is saying when you have the excrement that's there only, again, visible when one is sitting, but it's there by in the person's rear? What's the difference when there's excrement on one's flesh? With the Itmar, there we had a machlokes regarding that halacha. As is brought, that tzaya al basari, regarding if someone has excrement on his flesh, or let's say his hands were in the bathroom, which these are equal type of questions. For example, let's say there was a wall separating between him and the bathroom, and the bathroom was on the other side of the wall, and he sticks his hand through the crack, and now his hand is in the bathroom. So on that we have a machlekes. Rav Huna Amar mutalikas krishma. Rav Huna says, permitted to say krishma. There's no problem about having, let's say, excrement on your hands, or if, let's say, you have your hand stuck into the bathroom, because, as the Gemara explains in Maseches Brachos, kol haneshama talka. It's only the things of the neshima, of the head, the face, they have to be in a pure place. But if your hand is in an impure place, that's not a problem. Rav Chizda says that asalikos krishma. He says, no, it's forbidden to recite krishma even though it's on some other part of the body. And that's because he brings down the pasuk in Tehillim Perek Lamed Hey that kol atzmoy se tamana, all my bones should say your praise, which means to say that every part of the body is considered saying the praise, not just the makam haneshima, the breath, in other words, where the nose and the mouth is. And therefore, if there's any part of the body that's in the impure place, one cannot say dvar mishabek dusha. Now, the question on Rav Papa is from both, for sure, from Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says that even if you have it on your body, on your hand, it's no problem. But even Rav Chizda, he says the whole reason why you wouldn't be able to say Krishma or Dvarim Shebekdusha is based on the pasuk v'kol etzmoisa tamarana. But just because of the smell and the odor that's coming from the excrement itself, that wouldn't be a problem. And therefore, Rav Papa is not like either one, not like Rav Huna or Rav Chizda. Not like Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says, even if it's right there on your hand, you're allowed to say Krishma. And according to Rav Chizda, it's also not, because he's not saying it's based on, because it's something that of the tzaya per se, that is because of the zuama, because of the smell. It's just because of the fact that you're lacking kol etzmoisa tamarana. So how do we understand the halacha of Rav Papa? So that the Gemara answers, bim kaima nafish zuama. In other words, in the natural place of where the excrement comes out from, there, it's very smelly. It's very warm over there. It has not yet come out into the atmosphere in the world. Hence, the odor is very strong and concentrated. Therefore, everyone would agree to Rav Papa that that would be a problem, that one would not be able to say Krishma. However, not in its natural place, it's not so smelly. In other words, if someone has excrement on his fingers, it's not as odorous or as impure in this sense as it is where it is. And therefore, that's where Rav Chizda and Rav Huna argue, can you say Krishma or can you not? Because of a different reason of kol etzmoisa tamarana. However, based on the principle of bimkaima, where it is in the anus, there everyone would agree, to Rav Papa's halacha, that there would be forbidden, because there it's really odor and it's very much concentrated over there. Now the Gemara continues with a similar halacha regarding what we had been speaking about urinating. So Torah Bar Mitzvah in the Braisa. Halacha besuda. In other words, there was a specific halacha said regarding if someone is eating a meal, that is when there's many people eating together. So Adam Yates, if a person goes out in the middle of the meal, lahashtimayim, to urinate. So then halacha is neitel yodei achas. He has to wash the one hand that he's using, as we said, that's a requirement to wash off the netzaitz, the droplets that would fall on the foot. So that hand that was used to rub that off, he has to wash that hand. And then he could go back into the meal by virtue of washing off that hand. However, dibim chaveri v'hiflik, if he was speaking with his friend, he walked out of the meal, he's talking with his friend for a pretty long time, then neitel shtei yodav, then he has to wash both his hands. And the reason is because since he was speaking with his friend for 1-2 hours, whatever it is, it was a long time, so then he forgot about the meal that he was eating. Therefore, he was not careful where he was putting his hands. And there's halacha of what's called askonius, which means the hands are busy, hands are always moving. And he could have picked up his socks, he could have gone in a place which requires a netilas yadayim, it's considered a place of zuama. And therefore, he has to wash both hands, and then he can go back into the meal and continue eating. Now, the Braisa tells us that ukashu neitel, when he does this netilas yadayim, lo yitel mi bachutz v'yikonis, he shouldn't wash it outside of where this meal is going on and then come in. Rather, and the reason for that is nechashat, because of suspicion that people shouldn't say, oh, he went to the bathroom, we didn't see him washing his hands, he didn't wash his hands. So we don't want people to suspect. Ella, rather, what you do is nichnas v'yeshem come. You come back into the meal, you sit in your place, you go where you were sitting before. V'neitel sheyadim, and there you have water brought to you, and you wash both hands. And then umachzer hatafeach al'orichin, what you do is you pass the pitcher around amongst the other guest that's sitting around the table. And what he does is he tells the waiter, here, pass it around to see if anybody else, the waiter should say, anybody else needs water to wash? And the reason why he does this is because to allude to other people that you should just know, I wash my hands, because you see the pitcher going around and you notice that I wash my hands, again, so that there shouldn't be the chashash that the individual didn't wash his hands after relieving himself or after touching a makam of zuhama. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies the halacha of this brisa. Amar Rav Chizra, Rav Chizra says, Lo yamaran, we didn't say that a person should not wash his hands outside and only when he's inside. Ella, that was only said if he doesn't have to eat anymore. Rather, it's only lishtos. He was coming in just to drink, and that is the way they used to have their meals, is that they used to have this meal, and then for a long time after the meal was over, they took away all the food, they would just be drinking after the food. And therefore, although the halacha requires a person to wash his hands, even for just the drinking part, and the reason is because maybe when you're drinking, you might stick some food in your mouth, and you have these foul hands that from leaving oneself or touching a dirty place. So therefore, when you're coming back in to drink, people might suspect that you didn't wash your hands, because again, we still require for drinking, because you might come to put some food in your mouth. So therefore, when you're coming back to drink, you have to come inside and then wash inside. Avalechol, but if someone's coming back in to continue eating, it's somewhere in the middle of the meal, then even the brayso would agree you could wash your hands outside and then come in. Why? They made the idea danin and daite, because everybody knows that you that would be a delicate situation, that no one would suspect you that you didn't wash your hands, because who's going to be touching food after he touched some dirty place or wiped off urine from his feet? Obviously, there everyone would know. It's only when you're coming to drink, people think, hey, he didn't care to wash his hands because he's drinking anyway, but they are the halacha requires, and therefore they're going to suspect him. But for eating, no one's going to suspect, because who's going to eat food and touching foods with his dirty hands, and therefore you could wash even outside. Now, added to this, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he says, Vano, someone like me, I feel a lishtos nami. Even if I'm coming back in just to drink, I could still wash my hands outside. And the reason is because me, the idea, danin and datoy, they know that I'm really delicate. And they know that even for drinking purposes, I wouldn't drink if I didn't wash my hands off. And therefore, I don't have to wash my hands inside. I could even wash my hands on the outside. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which is, in essence, a continuation of the idea that we were speaking about now, which was the last item mentioned in the previous Mishnah, about the general rules in the Beis HaMikdash about having to immerse in the mikvah or to do Kiddush Adam Reglayim before one goes ahead and enters into the Beis HaMikdash to do Avodah. So now our Mishnah tells us that Ein Odom Nichnas Lazar Lavoida, a person is not allowed to come into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash to do this service. Now Rashi tells us not necessarily to do this service, to do an Avoida, because a person is not allowed to come at all into the courtyard until he immerses in the mikveh, and the Gemara will explain the reason for it. However, it says a person cannot come into the Azara, Afil Atar, even if he's pure, Achi Yitful, until he first immerses in the mikveh, and only then, even if he was Tar, then he could come into the Azara. Now the Gemara returns again on this discussion of Tefillos and Kiddush Adam Reglayim, comes back to the theme of this Masechta about the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. So it tells us that besides what we were just discussing, that any time you're coming into the Azara for the first time, you have to immerse in the mikvah. So on that, the Mishnah tells us that Chamesh Tefillos, there were 5 immersions, Va'asar Kiddushin, and 10 times washing the hands and the feet from the Kir, whereas Tevil Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol would immerse himself, Umekadesh, and sanctify, meaning the washing of the hands and the feet from the Kir, B'yom, on that day of Yom Kippurim. And the Gemara will learn where the source for these Tevilas and Kiddush and Amagalayim were. Now, on that, the Mishnah tells us that V'kulon B'kodesh al Beis HaParva, all the immersions that he did that day in Yom Kippurim were done on the roof of the chamber of the Beis HaParva, Chutz Mizubovar, except for this first one that we were discussing in our Mishnah, because that is not obligatory, it's not regarded as part of the actual service of Yom Kippur, because every single day when you come in the morning to do that avodah, you have to go ahead and do in tevila. And therefore, although the tevilas of that were integral to the avodah, that were unique to Yom Kippurim, there it had to be on top of the roof of the Beis HaParva, because the Torah tells us in Parsha Achrei Mais, which talks about the Parsha of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, it says it has to be Makom Kadosh, in a sanctified place. This was the first one, Chutz Mizubavad, the first one was different, and that didn't have to be on the roof of the Beis HaParva, because it didn't have to be B'makom Kadosh. That was to the contrary, actually. You're not allowed to come in to the Azara until you do a Tevila. Now, the Mishnah tells us that when the Kohen Gadol would do this immersion on the roof of the Beis HaParva, parsu sadin shel butz beinoy lebeinam, they would spread a linen cloth between him and the people, that people shouldn't see him when he's immersed in the mikvah. So they would hold up this cloth, and then the Kohen Gadol would go out, down and immerse, and then he would come up, and then he would change in between avodas. Now, the Mishnah ends with the following three words of kiddush yad v'raglav, he would sanctify his hands and his feet. Now, there are other girsayas that are not gerusis, and the reason is because the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim would not happen until after he did the tefillah, so it wouldn't be appropriate at this time for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Now, the Gemara brings a braisa that expounds upon the concept of our Mishnah. So, because our Mishnah spoke about that a person cannot come to Azara until he does a tefillah, even if he's tar. So now the Gemara brings a braisa that Shalu has Ben Zayma. They asked Ben Zayma, tefillah zu, this immersion in the mikvah of every morning, of any person coming in the morning into the Azara, lama, why does a tahar person have to do a tefillah? So that Amar Lahem Sabidzim responded as follows. He says, "Umah hameshana mikodesh lekodesh." Regarding this individual, in other words, a reference to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, who, for the five avodas that he does in Yom Kippurim, that when he changes from something sanctified to something else sanctified, meaning when he changes from doing an avodah b'chutz, meaning what he does in the Azara, to an avodah that he's doing lefnim, in other words, inside the kachet kachim, or from what he's doing from inside the Kaddish Kachim to what he's doing as in the Azara, where both those places are Kaddish. And moreover, when he's transitioning from a place where if a Tamei person would do the Avaida, it would be a punishment of Karas in either place, whether it's Bachutz, in other words in the Azara, whether it's Befnim in the Kaddish Kachim, and yet still Ta'un Tvila, between these different Avaidas. As the Gemara will tell us later on, the Aflam and Bezim and Alf, he requires a Tvila. So if so, this person that's coming from his own home, not from Kodesh, not from any place that you're not allowed to be Tamei, and he's coming into the Azar, into the courtyard, Hameshan Mechoyle Kodesh, where he's changing from Chol to Kodesh, or Umimakim Shein Anish Karas, Lamakim Shein Anish Karas, and he's coming from a place where there's no punishment of Karas being Tamei, to coming to a place where there is Anish Karas of being Tamei, Se'ene Din Shetan Tefillah, isn't it a Kal V'chaymer from the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim that has to change from holy to holy, just different types of holy, and he has to immerse, most definitely, when you're coming from Chol to Kodesh, most definitely, it's a Kavah Chaimah that you're going to have to immerse in the mikvah before you do that. That's Ben Zayma's opinion. Behudayim, Rav Yehuda argues, he says, Serech Tevila Hizu. He says that this is only, it's not an obligation from the Torah, like Ben Zayma is saying, that he's saying it's a Kavah Chaimah, which is one of the Midash HaTor in the Jeshabhan. Rather, this is just something to remind someone in the format of an immersion, that is Kedisha Yizkir Tumma Yishana Shebiyada Biyifresh. It should just remind him of an old Tumma that he possibly has, and he'll remind himself. In other words, if we were mandate every Kayan who, quote, he's Tahar, to do a tefillah when he's coming in the morning, so he's going to be, as he's going to the mikveh, he's going to start thinking, I'm purifying myself. Wait, what am I purifying myself? I'm Tahar. But he'll remind himself, wait a second, you know, I think I maybe touched that thing that's Tameh, and he'll remember that he's Tameh, but just that he forgot about it, and they say, "Hey, I'm Tamei, good thing I'm doing this tefillah, it reminds me of what tefillah is required for, and therefore I'm going to have to wait till sundown, until that, because when one immerses, he has to wait till sundown, and then he won't do the service that day. And therefore, that's the intention of this tefillah. There's no chiv minat Torah, it's just a rabbinic injunction to remind the person that possibly he is Tamei, and therefore he'll start, he won't do the avodah that day, and he'll wait till the following day." Now the Gemara asks, "B'mai kamifki?" What is the ramification of this machlokes between Ben Zayma and Rabbi Yehuda regarding what is the reasoning behind the chiyuv of this tefillah that everyone has to have in the morning when it comes to the Azara? So that the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis, ba'achuli avoida, regarding the desecration of the service, and that is if, let's say, the Kohen did not immerse himself in the morning and he still did the avoida, komifugli, that's where the nafkamina would be that they argue, and that is Ben Zayma, according to Ben Zayma, that he says the chiyuv, the obligation of immersing in the mikvah, is biblical because, as he said, it's a kavu chaymer, and the kavu chaymer is a drasha min ha-Torah. So the machla vayda, if you do that vayda, so you just transgressed a biblical requirement for that vayda, and therefore you desecrated that vayda that you did. Whereas Rabbi Huda, that he says it's only rabbinic as a reminder, so le machla vayda. So if you didn't do the rabbinic injunction and you did that vayda, it wouldn't be a desecration of that vayda that you did. But now the Gemara asks, is that really the possibility of the difference between them? But Ula Ben Zayma Mimachal, is it true that according to the opinion of Ben Zayma, that if this Kohen who didn't do the tefillah in the morning, even though he's tar, that it would be considered that he was Mechal Da'avoida? But the problem is, As we said, the whole source of requiring a regular kohen or any kohen that's coming to do the azara in the morning, that he has to do a tefillah, we learned that out from the kohen gadol on Yom Kippurim. As we said, kal v'chomer, if he has to do it and he's going from kodesh to kodesh, most definitely someone that's going from chel to kodesh. Now the problem is, as the Gemara will demonstrate, the source of this halacha, which is the kohen gadol, if he himself doesn't do the tefillah, his avodah is going to be kosher and it will not be mechal d'avodah. As the Gemara said, v'tan, we learned the brisa. Kohen gadol shaloi taval. Again, he's supposed to, between all the different avodas. But if he doesn't immerse in the mikvah, v'loi kiddush, and he doesn't sanctify his hands and his feet, being beged labeged, between when he switches the garments of the shemayin begadim to the dal begadim, ubein avod lavodah, and from one service that's inside to the service that's outside, or the reverse, then avodasik sheira. Then his avodah is kosher. So this is the part of the brisa that contradicts the answer we just gave. But the continuation of the brisa is, however, Echad Kohen Gadol, Echad Kohen Hedjid, whether it's a Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedjid, Shlei Kiddush Yodah B'Raglav Shachris V'Avid, that not like we were just specifying that he didn't do it between the Avodis, but he didn't even do the sanctification of his hands and his feet from the waters of the Kir in the morning when he came in the first place, and he did the Avodah, their Avodah B'Sul. There the Braisa says that his Avodah is going to be invalid, and that's as the Gemara in the second parak of Masechta Zvachim, on the Yud Testament base, explains that they learn out from a source that if one doesn't wash his hands and his feet, there will be machal d'avodah. However, what the question from the Braisa is that we see clearly that if the Kohen doesn't do the tefillah, it will not be machal d'avodah. And hence, if the whole requirement of Ben Zoyma, that he's learning out this kal v'chomer, which is midaraisa from the Kohen Gadol, where if the source itself is not be machal d'avodah, most definitely, what's being learned out from it, which the Kohen or anyone in the morning coming to the Azara, will not be Mechal Davayda. So again, what's the difference between him and Rabbi Yehuda? El rather, the Gemara says, you're right, that's not the difference. L'mekim ba'aseh kamifogi. The difference between Ben Zem and Rabbi Yehuda would be if one will be considered violating a positive commandment in the Torah. And that is Le Ben Zayma, Koy Ba'aseh, according to Ben Zayma, one will be transgressing a positive commandment. And that will be Kavo Chaymer from the Kohen Gadol, who he also transgresses the positive commandment if he doesn't do a tefillah, as the Pasuk says in Yikra Tezayin, V'rochetz es besari b'mayim elevashim, that he has to wash himself and then clothe. That means he has to, it says in the Torah, to do the tefillah. And therefore, if he doesn't, he's transgressing a positive commandment. So too, what's learned out from that as a Kavo Chaymer, every Kohen in the morning. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, like Koy Ba'aseh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no positive commandment because you're not learning out from the Kohen Gadol. It's just a rabbinic reminder, and if you don't do it, you're not transgressing a positive commandment. Now the Gemara asks a different line of questioning. Umi isle Rabbi Yehuda hai svara? Does Rabbi Yehuda even hold of this logic that we're bringing down at all, that anyone that comes into the Azara requires a tefillah? And that is, our Mishnah said that anyone that comes in the morning to the Avodah has to do a tefillah. So we brought a braisa. The machlek is between Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Zayma. What is the reasoning? Ben Zayma says it's deraisa, it's kal v'chomer. Yehuda says it's a reminder, it's rabbinic. But ultimately he says, even if he's saying it's rabbinic, he says that there is such a chiyuv to go ahead and be tovel in the morning, even if you're tar. But if you're coming to do the morning, in the first time in the morning to the azar, you have to do a tevila. That the Gemara asks, but v'tanya learned the braisa seems to contradict this. The braisa tells us that mitzayra, and that is a mitzayra on his eighth day, even though he already immersed himself in the mikvah on the seventh day, as the pasuk says, "V'hoyah b'yem hashvi," that on the seventh day yigaleich, he should cut off all his hair and then he immerses in the mikvah. However, he has to go ahead again on the eighth day and tovel and immerse himself on the day when he's bringing his karbanas. Now, "V'oymid b'shar nikkanah," the Tanna Kama says that where does he stand? He stands in the gate of nikkanah because he's still considered a mechusa kippurim. He can't go ahead and enter into the Azara itself. However, he still has to get his thumbs inside because of the, and he has to have his hands and his feet because there has to be an application of the blood of the karban ashram and the oil of the lug that have to go on his behindness, which are his thumbs of his hand and his feet. So therefore, what he does is, and the Gemara elsewhere learns that that's allowed, that he's allowed to stick in just the shayar nikkanah does not have the kedusha of the azar. Therefore, he could stand there, he could be in that gateway, and he could stick in his hands and his feet to get the blood and the oil thrown on him. That's what the Tanna Kama holds. Behudaimer, he says, in a tzarech tefillah, there's no requirement of, as the Tanna Kama said, that he has to tevil and then he goes and he stands in the gateway of the nikkanah. So he doesn't require the tevilah, a special immersion on the eighth day. Shekvar tovel mebe'erv, because he already tevilled on the day before. And that's what we explained in the pasuk, says he has to tevil on the seventh day. Tanna Kama says, but you have to do tevil again on the eighth day. Now, Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his opinion, that he says that there's no requirement to tevil in the morning when you come into the Azara, because the whole requirement was as a reminder for an old tumah. Now, this person doesn't need a reminder of an old tumah because just yesterday he went to the mikvah after waiting 7 days. He finally went to the mikvah, and now it's the 8th day. I'm finally going to bring my kabbans. I have to go ahead and immerse myself again to remind myself I just went to the mikvah yesterday. So therefore, there's no requirement. But the contradictory point is that you see that when you're coming in the morning to do an avodah, if you know that you're tahar, you don't have to go ahead and immerse in the mikvah. Now, that's difficult because Rabbi Huda said that you do. He agreed with the premise of our Mishnah. He just said it's a reminder, but he says whether you know or not, you have to. But yet here, clearly he says that the mitzvah who's coming on the 8th day does not have to immerse in the mikvah. So how do we resolve that contradiction? So that the Gemara says, what do you mean? Who could diktani taima? It said the reason already why this is different than usual. Shekvar tavim be'erev, because he already immersed himself in a mikvah from the evening. So basically, the Gemara's answering is that what was the question in the first place? Of course there's a difference. Generally, he agrees to the premise that you're coming in the morning, you have to immerse as a reminder. But this is different because there's no purpose for a reminder because he just immersed himself in the mikvah yesterday. So now the Gemara asks on the questioner, would the Ka'ari law, the one that had brought in this Braisa to ask from it in the Beis Medrash, my Ka'ari law, what was he busy with? It's pretty obvious that this is different, as it says, because he already immersed from the day before. So of course you don't have to immerse today. So although yes, generally there is this halachic concept that if you're coming in the morning, rabbinically we require it as a reminder, but if you did it yesterday already, of course you don't need one. So what was his question? Amad the Gemara answers, Mishum de Kaboy Lemirma Achriti Alau. That's because there was a third brisa that he wanted to ask from. So yes, this second brisa that we brought was not a contradiction to the first brisa because obviously there's a difference. There's a disparity between the two that the first one, Rabbi Huda, agrees to the premise of our Mishnah. It's talking about a regular kain. And here we're talking about a mitzvah who just immersed yesterday. Of course, Rabbi Huda would agree. You don't have to immerse today anymore. But the problem is a third brisa. This brisa says that Lishkas HaMitzaron, that chamber of the Mitzaron, the brisa's question is, why was it called Lishkas HaMitzaron? So that the Braisa says, the Tanakhama says, Shasham Mitzaron Taivlin. The reason is because that is where the Mitzaron, those are at Tzaras, they would immerse themselves on the 8th day so that they could go ahead and stick their behindness, their thumbs, into the Azar, into the courtyard. That's why it was called Lishkas HaMitzaron. On that Rabbi Huda Imer, he says, Loi Mitzaron Belvad Amru. We didn't just say that the only person that was a Mitzara, that he had to immerse himself before sticking any part of his body into the Azara. Ela Kol Adam. But rather, anyone that enters into the Azara, he has to go ahead and immerse himself before he goes in. Now, the question is, from the fact that he said that loy mitzaron bilvad amru, that not only mitzaron have to immerse themselves on the 8th day, but rather even anyone coming in the morning, sounds like that a mitzaira requires a tefillah on the 8th day. Now, that contradicts what the second brisa had said, and that is where it said that he holds that you don't have to do a tefillah for the mitzaira on the 8th day because you already immersed yesterday. So the reason why he introduced this second brisa was not as a contradiction of the first, but rather for a third brisa, which says that he does have to do a tefillah, and yet the second brisa says he doesn't have to. So that the Gemara says, loy kasha. That's not a contradiction, because the previous brisa was talking about the tevil, as he said, because he immersed himself on the 7th day as he's supposed to. So therefore, on the 8th day, what's the purpose of reminding him? He already went yesterday, so you don't have to. The third brisa was the loy tavel, where he did not immerse in the mikvah yesterday for his tzaras. So of course, now on the 8th day, he would have to go ahead and immerse himself before he goes ahead and enters his behindness into the azar. Gemara asks on that teretz, idloy tavel, if he didn't immerse himself yesterday as he's supposed to, but then harav shemesh boy, then he actually has to wait for sundown. He can't go ahead with his process of purifying himself and sticking his behindness into the Azara. He can't continue because he's still considered Tamei, a Tevul Yayim. He has to wait till sundown. So how could we say that that would be why he's on the 8th day before he sticks his behindness in? He has to immerse himself according to Rabbi Huda because he didn't immerse yesterday, but that wouldn't help anymore if he didn't immerse yesterday. He would have to wait till the following day because he would have to wait for sundown. Ella, rather, the Gemara says you're right. Rather, the resolution of this contradiction is Idvi Idi de Tavel. Both of them are talking about that they did immerse yesterday on the 7th day as he's supposed to. But this third brisa that requires a tefillah according to Behuda was the Asach Daite, that he wasn't conscious about watching his body to see if he was going to contract Tumah or not. And therefore, since he wasn't watching, he was Masiach Das, he has to re-immerse himself on the day of the 8th day. Ha, the prior braisa that said that it doesn't have to according to Behuda, he did not remove his consciousness, he was aware, he was mindful about if he's going to become tummy or not, and therefore since he already immersed yesterday, so what's the point of reminding him that maybe you became tummy? What do you mean? I knew I went to the mikvah, I made sure I didn't touch anything. So there's no purpose in him requiring a mitzvila. Then the Gemara asked on that teretz, if the braisa that's requiring the tvila on the day 8, the third braisa, because he was masich das, he didn't watch to see if he's going to contract tum or not, then the Gemara's question is, that wouldn't help then even to just do a tvila on day 8, because hazoi shlishi utzvibai, to the contrary, you would actually need to go ahead and be sprayed with the parduma ashes for day 3 and then day 7, and you would have to wait a whole week. And the reason is because maybe, since he wasn't careful to watch if he's going to become tummy not, maybe he walked into a tent, into a house where there was a corpse lying there, and he didn't think about it because he wasn't being mindful, and became tummy from an oil mess, and he would have to wait a whole week. That hesachadas, if someone was not conscious about his purity, then he actually has to be sprayed with the paraduma for day 3 and day 7. So how could we say that the braisa that's saying, that Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, here I agree, you need a tefillah on day 8, because you would be Messiah Das. If you're Messiah Das, you would have to wait a whole week, not just a tefillah. Ella, rather, the Gemara concludes with three different terutzim that resolve the contradiction between the second and the third braisas, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, if the mitzvah requires a tefillah b'yom shmini or not. That is, Ella, idvi idi deloya sachadayti v'lekash. Now, both are talking about that you tevilled and you were not Messiah Das, because then the tefillah wouldn't help, and it's still not a contradiction, because had the tavel al das bias mikdash. The second braisa says that you don't have to immerse on the 8th, was that when he did immerse, he also had in mind that I'm going to go ahead, so I'm pure, so that I could enter into the area of the base of mikdash. Then you don't have to immerse on day 8. Ha, the third braisa says you still have to immerse again on day 8, was the tavel al das bias mikdash. Although you immersed on day 7 to purify yourself, but you didn't have in mind that it should also allow one to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, that das was missing, and therefore you have to immerse yourself again on day 8 to go ahead and activate the process of permitting one to come into the Beis HaMikdash. That's one answer. V'bayisema, or if you want, you could say a second resolution, is that today you should learn in that braisa and remove the word bilvat. And that is, when what he said, he didn't say lemitzaron bilvat amru, which sounds like that, but also not only a mitzvah, but for sure a mitzvah, but even every person. No, you should read Lo mitzaron amru. They did not require this tevila that you're saying before you come into the azara, that we're debating why did they call lishkas hamitzaron. It was not for the mitzaira. Ela kol adam. To the contrary, it was only for everybody else, because everybody else when they come in, that I agree to that as our mishnah said that concept, where everyone when they come in for the first time in the morning, they have to go ahead and do a tevila. However, that chiv is not for mitzaron day 8, as the second brisa said. Because there, since he already immersed yesterday, there's no need for him to have a reminder. Third Teretz the Gemara brings is, Ravina Amar, he says, that Rabbi Yehuda ledevrem derabbanan kamlo. Rabbi Yehuda was only talking in regards to their opinions, who he was arguing on. And he was saying, lididi, he was saying in the third braisa, according to me, as he says in the second braisa, that mitzvah ain't sarach tevila. Mitzvah does not require tevila because he already immersed yesterday, and if he immersed yesterday, there's no point in reminding him on day 8. But l'detchu oideli izi mihas, but what he was saying was, but at least according to your opinion, at least admit to me, deloy mitzaron bilvad amr, you're saying lishkas ha-mitzaron. Why was it called lishkas ha-mitzaron? Because that's where the mitzaira used to immerse himself before he went and to enter his behinds. I'm saying that that's not why it was called that, because there's no point in him immersing today if he already immersed yesterday. But one thing admit to me in that is, loy mitzaron bilvad amr, that not only that what you're saying, that the mitzaira has to be tevil before he enters into the area of the Beis HaMikdash, ela kol adam, but at least tell me that at least that not only the mitzaira, but everybody has to go ahead. So again, it's not a contradiction because he himself actually holds the mitzvah doesn't. But when he said bilvad, it was in reference to their opinion, who he argues on, and saying that, look, admit to me that you're saying the mitzvah, but also everybody has to. And Adav, Rabban hold no, the opposite of Rabbi Huda's opinion. Although Rabbi Huda holds that mitzvah doesn't have to and everyone else does, they hold no, to the contrary. Only mitzvah has to and everybody doesn't have to. And the reason is because mitzvah doyish betumah. A mitzvah is steeped in tum, and that is, up until now, he was used to touching things that were tummy, because he's anyways tummy with his teras. So therefore, we're more concerned by him that maybe after he already immersed on day 7, that maybe he still touched tum because he's so used to it. It's out of rote. Therefore, he has to tevil on day 8. Kol adam lo yidayish betumah. Any regular kain coming into the azara is not normally steeped in tumah. And therefore, if we have a presumption that he's tar, there's no need for him to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikvah. And again, those are the three different resolutions to resolve the second and the third brayse of Rabbi Yehuda, if a mitzvah on day 8 has to immerse himself in the mikvah or not. Now, related to the prior brayse, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. So Abayla said to Rav Yosef, and he said a few different points that the Gemara will record. Says he had the following question: Neima Rabbanan the pliga led Rabbi Yehuda. Should we say that the Rabbanan who argued on Rabbi Yehuda, which was the second of the three brises that we brought in, that it said that the Tanakama who argued on Rabbi Yehuda said that the Mitzari has to immerse himself on day 8, and then he stands by the Shar Nekrener, who that was arguing on Rabbi Yehuda, who he said in the second brisa that Rabbi Yehuda does not require a tevila on day 8. Now, should we say that Keben Zayma Svirulu, that maybe they really hold like Ben Zayma, who he says, as we recorded on Amud Aleph, on the bottom of Amud Aleph, that he holds Minat Taira, everybody has to immerse before they come into the Azara, not just a Mitzaira, and therefore, there's no difference for sure that if the Mitzaira had immersed himself on day 7, it doesn't make a difference if he did immerse or he didn't, because anyway, whoever comes in has to go ahead, even if it's Tahar, a Kavachemir from the Kayan, the Kohen Gadol in Kippurim, that he has to immerse himself before he comes in. Hence, what that would mean is that the Rabbanan who argue Rabbi Yehuda in the second Brisa are not like the Rabbanan in the third Brisa, who they only argue regarding Mitzayra, as we had just demonstrated in the third of the three answers regarding the resolution. That is, they hold on the only Mitzayra has to go ahead and immerse himself. But actually, a regular Kohen doesn't have to. So now the Gemara is debating about, and this is a biased question to Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbanah of the second Brisa, do they say differently than the Rabbanah on the third Brisa? And that is, they really hold like Ben Zayma, that not only Mitzarya, but everybody has to immerse themselves before they come into the Azara. Now, V'haydik Tani Mitzarya, although they seem to be discussing just the Mitzarya, as the words of the Rabbanah were Mitzarya Tevel V'aymed, it's the only reason why they picked Mitzayra was like the Acha Koich Rabbi Yehuda, was to tell you the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that he holds that a Mitzayra does not need a Tevila. But they themselves hold not only that a Mitzayra has to Tevil, but everybody, even if it's a Tahar person, most definitely a Mitzayra that may be touched, maybe didn't Tevil, whatever it is, but everybody has to because of Kavachemim from the Kohen Gadol. Oidilmo, or maybe the Rabbanah who argued Rabbi Yehuda in the second Brisa are the same Rabbanan in the third Brisa who only argue by Mitzayra. And the reason is, as we said, because Shani Mitzayra, the Daish Betuma, like the third Teretz, the Gemara brought down that of Ravina, who in that was his explanation to resolve the two different Brises in contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda. The way they explained the opinion of the Rabbanan was that the Rabbanan in the third Brisa only hold that a Mitzayra on his eighth day has to, even if he immersed himself on day 7 because he's steeped in Tumah, and we should suspect that maybe he touched, and therefore he has to immerse himself on day 8. So the Gemara's question is, who is the Rabban of the middle Brisa like? Are they like, not like the Brisa, are they like Ben Zayma, who argues on Rabbi Yehuda in the first Brisa, and that everybody has to? And why they pick Mitzari just because Rabbi Yehuda is Chiddush, that he would hold Mitzari, you don't have to? Or are they like the Rabban of the third Brisa, that say that no, only Mitzari, that's why they're only arguing Rabbi Yehuda regarding Mitzari, because Mitzari is steeped in Tumah, but to the contrary, every regular kind would not require it, and not like Ben Zayma. On that, Amalei Rav Yosef responded to him, Shani Mitzari Dedoish Betuma. Yeah, the Brisa, the Tana of this, of that argues on Rabbi Yehuda in the second Brisa, is the same Rabbanan as we find in the third Brisa, and that they Davka, they specifically argue on Rabbi Yehuda just in the case of Mitzari, because Mitzari is steeped in Tumah, but a regular Kohen coming in would not require a Tefillah Midaraisa before he comes into the ear of the Beis HaMikdash. So another question that Abaye asked Rav Yosef related to this discussion, Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef, so he said, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amaserch Tevila Hizu, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that, as we brought on the bottom of Amud Aleph, an explanation of our Mishnah, that the requirement for a Kohen coming in first time during the day, that he has to do a Tevila, is only because, as a reminder for him, that maybe he was Tamei, although essentially there's no biblical obligation to do a Tevila. So now we continue on top of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. So Abai asked Rabbi Yosef, Chaitzitz? Would this have the same halacha like other tefillas that are biblically mandated, or other chiyuvei tefillah, that there would be a halacha of chatzitza, that if one has an interposition, something, let's say, that's a band-aid, something that's blocking the water to touch his flesh, that would invalidate the tefillah? Or maybe, since it's not really a tefillah, it's just a reminder to remind him that maybe he had some old tumah and not really to purify himself, that ein chaitzes, there would be no invalidation if you find out later that you had a few hairs that were tied together, which generally would be a problem regarding tefillah. That wouldn't be a problem because it's not really tefillah that we require. We just need him to simulate a tefillah to remind him of that. So that Rav Yisrael responded, called the Tukun Rabbanon, whatever the Rabbanon instituted, Ke'en Daraisa Tukun, they instituted with the same halachic ramifications as its biblical counterpart, and therefore, yes, Chatzitza would be a problem because since they mandated it, it has the same halachas as if it would be biblical. Similarly, a third question, normally Abai asked Rav Yisrael, Bia b'miktsas, Shema Bia, is partial entering into the area of the Azara. Is that considered entering? And that is, there's a different discussion regarding Bia b'miktsas Shema Bia, but Abai's specific question was regarding this immersion, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's only a reminder, it's not really a tefillah that's required. Now, but he has to immerse himself before he enters into the Azara. Would that same requirement be, even if you're just putting your behindness, if you're just sticking a finger into the Azara, would that be the same requirement? Or maybe for that, we didn't require, it's only if you're totally entering into the Azara, then we need you to go through this reminder of the tefillah. But if you're just going partly in, then we wouldn't require because it's not really full-fledged coming in. That Amalei, Rav Yisrael responded to Abaya, behindness yichichu. The case of the Mitzayra regarding sticking his thumbs into the Azara, that will prove and answer your question. Shehein bia b'miktas, where that's only a partial entering into the Azara. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa that Mitzayra Tevel, that the Mitzayra has to immerse himself, v'oimid b'shar Nikoner, and he stands in the gateway of Nikoner, and he sticks part of his body inside, that obviously, that regarding this tefillah that we're required to do in the morning, which is not only by everybody, but includes the Mitzvah on day 8, even though he already immersed himself the day before, but as Ben Zayma would hold, and in this case, it's Rabbi Huda who requires as a rabbinic requirement that if you're coming in and you're sticking your thumbs in, you see that Bia b'miktsas, Shema Bia, even though it's only a reminder, the reminder went that far, and that even regarding Bia b'miktsas, Shema Bia, a person would require to do a tefillah before he even just sticks his thumbs into the Azara.